Good evening, and welcome to Good News Update from Living Compassion. My name is Melinda, and I am delighted to be joined this evening by Jen, who is going to tell us a little bit about her very soon to happen next Africa trip.
Thanks, Melinda. Fun to be the guest. we leave on Saturday, head out for the long journey. You know, it takes a couple days to get there, so we'll be arriving on Monday. And the timing of the trip is really quite fun because we've had some time in the last days here at the monastery. We're spending some time looking at some planning, some looking at 2012, and in particular the other day we had some time to look at Africa. And so it's really fun to be doing the trip in the context of looking at what is our focus for 2012 going to be.
Yeah, so it's kind of right out of the box with the planning days and then going into Ndola, going into Cantalamba, and sort of being on the ground with the things that have just been being planned for. It sounds like a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah. It really is. It brings kind of a vitality to the trip. I think it brings a big focus. You know, on the trip, on every trip, we always have, as we all do in our lives, a long list of, you know, we need to do this, we need to check on this, check on that, do this, fix that, do all sorts of things. And it's very energizing to step back and get that, yes, we're going to do all those little details, and why are we doing it? And how are we doing it? What are we really doing there? That sort of thing. To put it all in that context is really so satisfying in a way.
Yeah.
So in terms of that, one of the things I'm really excited about, which has always been true of the project, and I think we're just at a place where we're ready to sort of deepen into it, is to have the project, you know, be the service arm of the work that we do, which it is, and to really connect up for people kind of what service is, how service, what role that plays in practice, and how people can do that. And so what we're looking at for this next year is broadening the ways that people can become involved, in particular in the work in Africa, but not just in the work in Africa, you know, all sorts of ways to really participate. I mean, participate was our theme, and I think this is sort of part of where it came from, was our theme for the Bridge Walk this year. And carrying that forward, just seeing how alivening that was for so many people in the Sangha and how it really stepped them forward. In fact, we were just talking recently about how even the radio show, I think, was really boosted by that, because that was one of the ways you could get participation points on the Bridge Walk game, and now people are really calling into the radio show. We're hearing more first-time callers, that sort of thing. So it's fun to continue to make that connection. And actually, as sort of as an aside but related to it, the team in Cantalamba always loves this trip, the first trip that we take after the Bridge Walk, because they always want to hear all the news about how it was and what was it like, and they want to see the pictures and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's so neat because what occurs to me is looking at service as it grows out of practice, not service that's something we do because we should do and it makes us good people, but service for the love of it, service for the love of practice, and being able to really put it, have a hands-on experience of that through, among other things, but especially the Africa project.
Yeah. What I just heard in that is service serves the heart, you know, instead of so much of life, so quote, serves the ego, if you will, supports the ego, and how being involved and participating really serves the heart.
Yeah. And we come away from this kind of service energized rather than depleted, as usually happens if I'm doing it because I think I should.
Yeah. Ooh, that's fun. That's a good sort of check-in, isn't it? Kind of a sense of where is it coming from. So on the content level, the big thing, we've talked about this a couple months ago, I think, on the Good News Update, but the big thing we're really stepping into is English as a focus. And not just in quite a holistic way. So English literacy. So really getting, especially the little guys, we realize that we want to focus on the young children as they're growing up to kind of assist them in a whole different paradigm, both literally give them the language skills so they can read, write, and speak English. And also the, you know, for these kids, they just don't see possibility because they're not surrounded by it. And so that's going to be a piece of this program that we're going to spend 2012 really, we're going to spend the first part of the year creating it and then the second part of the year implementing it. We're going to work with some teachers in the Sangha. One of the things we're going to be doing on this trip is meeting some folks in the local community who could help us on that side to create the program. We're going to be working with teachers on this side to create the program and create a whole holistic learning to read, write, and speak English, as well as, you know, what are the possibilities? Why is that important? You know, how is that going to help you in your life? And if you did know how to speak English really well, what choices would you have in your life? That sort of thing.
Yeah, offering English as a really huge support for people being able to have a future, because English, as I've often heard it said, is the language of commerce in Zambia as well as many other countries. And so it's a supportive thing. It's not a you need to do this so I can talk to you, but so you can have the life that you dream of.
One of the things that for me fits so perfectly parallel with practice is that, you know, it's an uphill battle, let's face it, in Zambia, to especially in Cantalumba, to be successful, to be able to financially support yourself, your family. The challenges are immense. They're huge. And as we look at it, you know, we can't solve every single problem there is to solve in Zambia. It's not going to happen. It's not why we're there, that sort of thing. And so when we look at the how of it, what's the most effective, compassionate thing that we could offer there? And right now it's feeling like English, because English is something that if someone really did have the drive, really, really wanted to go forward and be able to support themselves and their family and have opportunity and have possibility in their life, English is, I think, the number one thing that would enable them to do that. So it really feels like it's in line with practice that's the place that we're focusing.
Yeah, so it's really huge to make that the focus for 2012 and to be aiming the project there in different ways to be able to offer that.
And then just because it's, you know, fun for me, probably fun for other folks to hear some of the particulars that we're doing on the trip. So Rose, who is our nurse in the program, just such an asset, beautiful woman, such a big heart. She has big ideas for the projects, and we're really going to sit down and look at what she wants to do and basically have her pilot some things this year. For example, she has a skills program she wants to pilot where she's chosen, I think it's 3 young women and 2 young men who she thinks have a lot of promise. They're at that age where they're past, you know, they're not going to go back to school. They're past that age. They have barely any education. And so asking them, what skill would you like? You know, what would you like to do to support yourself? And so anything from tailoring to catering to whatever, to bricklaying to whatever it is. And so she's going to pilot a program of mentoring them through doing that, finding a program for them, helping them understand, again, why is it important to go every day? What's possible for you if you graduate from this program? Helping them get a job when they finish. And that'll just be a pilot program that we just see, how does this go? So that's really fun. Another fun thing is Gertrude, who people may remember is, so we stay at Castle Lodge Guest House, and Gertrude is one of the daughters of the people who own the guest house. Eunice is her sister. Eunice is the one that we always talk about. She runs the guest house. But she is an up-and-coming businesswoman. She's a designer and very hip and fun, and she has this eco bag. She wants to design this sort of line of bags, and she wants to use our sewers to sew them. And so we're going to be working with her on that, which is really fun because it's a local business opportunity, and there aren't many of those. So that's another fun piece of content for the trip. Checking on everything, as always, you know, looking at how is each program going and what's working and what's needed here and that sort of thing, which is always fun to do. Of course, hanging out with the kids, that's the best part. 800 of them now, so this will be the first time we've been there since there are 800.
Yeah, that's really extraordinary. And you mentioned something to me earlier about going to visit Christopher's grave, and I found that very moving.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know if you can say I'm looking forward to it, but I do, it's in, yeah. Yeah, Melinda just said your heart is. Yeah, that there's a way in which, you know, for people who may not have heard the show, we lost a member of the cooperative about, what, a month or so ago to complications with HIV/AIDS. And just a very, very dear man, and it's been had a big impact in the community in general. I think one of the things Teresa emailed us about, she said one of the impacts it's had is that the rest of Cantalumba really is, I think, sort of amazed at seeing the reaction of the cooperative to his death and realizing what an incredibly tight-knit, loving community that really is. And so that's been moving. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to just going and, you know, getting to be there with him and spending some time and sort of tying that up. So, yeah.
So I think we're about running out of time, Jen, but I want to remind folks that there will be a blog coming as soon as you're able to get your feet under you. I realize you do actually 3 work days worth of travel to get there, something in the neighborhood of 24 hours. But you'll be sending blogs with all of the things that are happening while you're there, and it's always something to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get them out just as quickly as we can, and then the team back here posts them, and it's a whole team effort. So yeah. Thanks, Melinda.
Oh, thank you, Jen. It's always good to hear about the work in Africa. So, Michael, turn it back to you.
Great. Thank you, Melinda. Thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
What a privilege to be part of this practice. It's amazing.
It's amazing. It is true.
I mean, it's amazing, and then it just gets more amazing.
Yes, it's amazing, and then it gets more so. So one of the things that is going on now is this whole process of strategic planning for 2012. And so we're looking at every aspect of practice and what we're offering and how we can, improve the quality of what we're offering. You know, we've been on a big program to improve the accommodations, upgrade the accommodations at the monastery. And so it's kind of, we're in an improvement upgrading of everything.
Right.
And so what we came up with today is that 2012 is going to be the year of deepening practice. And so being in that process, and then this Saturday, Jen will go to the Bay Area and get on an airplane and fly to Zambia and really deepen practice there. For us, because that work is so much a part of our practice, a part of the whole heart-opening, compassion-building approach of practice, and then fly back after a couple of weeks, and as Melinda said, many, many hours of travel to get there and get back, and then jump right back into continuing this process of how we're going to make practice available to more people next year and how we're going to support the monastery, you know, this whole thing. It just feels, grateful to be a part of something this exciting and dynamic and feel that we're participating in something that is really worthwhile and meaningful, and that we're connected with this extraordinary group of people all over the world who are practicing together. It's good.
Great. I'm nodding here right along. I know you can't see it, but I'm nodding along with everything you say. So it's wonderful.
It is.
It's great.
It is. It's a very good thing.
Great. And I have some announcements here.
All right.
On December 10th, that's a Saturday, The Gift of Your Own Presence, a day-long workshop with Jen Colmore in the South Bay area of San Francisco. Registration is now live.
Yes, I think there might be some breaking news about that, so people can stay tuned and check in and get more details.
Great. Hmm? Great. And then December 27th through January 1st, a Conscious Compassionate New Year's Retreat with you, Sherry, at Santa Sabina Center. This retreat is now full and has a waiting list.
It is. It's quite extraordinary. And that waiting list, that's a good thing to mention to people because, you know, it is the season of cold germs and that sort of thing. And so to stay tuned in because, sadly, somebody may not be able to make it. And if you're close enough to get to us, there might be a spot open. But right now it is chock-a-block full.
Great. Great. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. And with that, we'll get started. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jen.
Hi.
Hey.
How goes it?
It goes well. I just was sitting here. I just feel so excited and lucky to know about this practice. It's like, wow, how did that happen? I'm just really excited.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, and I can't wait to hear more about all of this 2012 stuff of service and deepening practice. It just sounds awesome. So I'm really excited to hear more about that.
Yes, and you shall. We have a huge opening. Extravaganza for this through the Santa Sabina retreat and then into the new year and great plan for all of 2012, but something for everybody.
Wow, well, I will be excited to be looking for that. That sounds amazing. Yeah, so I'm calling because I have my commitment to call, and I was really grateful to have the commitment to call tonight because conditioning, you know, not surprisingly, had no interest in me making the call. And, it was just getting to really watch the things that came up. Like right before this, I was teaching, I was supposed to go and teach a yoga class, which usually also helps me to be really present with other people. And it's so funny, I teach next to a place that has pizza and beer, and that's what they have on a big neon sign is pizza and beer.
So do you want to put pizza, beer, and yoga?
Yeah.
If they'll add yoga to the bottom, it could work well.
I know. Yeah, we don't have a neon sign, so we don't stand out as much. But it was just so interesting because as I was going to teach the class, conditioning was just so like, oh, I wish that I could just go and have pizza and beer, but I have to go and teach this class. And, you know, making it sound like it would be so much better to go and, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with pizza and beer. It was just like, you know, come be unconscious. That would feel so much better, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And, of course,
yoga,
it wasn't true.
Teaching yoga is such a horrible, hard thing to have to do, isn't it?
I know.
Conditioning's perspective... It really is. I mean, you're going to go do that thing, and your heart is going to open, and you're going to be really present, and that's really bad news for conditioned mind.
Yes, that's true. That's so interesting to keep looking at that, because I see regularly how much and how convincing it feels, like the body sensations and the stories of how, like, awful all of these things that I know ultimately I'm going to feel great, you know, having done them, like calling the radio show and going to teach yoga and all of these other things. But it's just amazing how conditioning just makes it feel, it does a very convincing job, it feels like, of making it feel like it's just going to be horrible, you know?
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, I know you've heard me say this, and are you doing the email class?
I am, yes.
Yeah.
Thank
so,
you. It's
I mean,
awesome.
It's just nonstop, right, with what people are up against trying to do what they want to do, right? So, you know, what do I want in life? I want my heart to be open. I want to be present. I want to live in loving kindness and compassion, and generosity of spirit, you know, all of that's what I want. And then there's just this brick wall of conditioning that I don't want to do that, I hate that, I don't feel like it, I'm too busy, it's too hard, that people are trying to get through. And I know someday it's going to drop in, the perfect way to phrase this so that people can really get what's going on. And that is that the one who is there with that, I hate this, I don't want to do it, blah, 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 is not me. It's not me. It's like I wish we turned chartreuse when when karmic conditioning is taken over, because then we could look down and go, oh my God, I'm not me. That's why I feel this way. That's why I'm thinking these thoughts. That's why the world I'm living in looks the way it looks. I'm oh my God, it's taken me over and it's projecting the world that I'm now seeing. But because that doesn't happen, there's just really no there's no mechanism to cause people to be aware of that takeover. And even though people know, 5 minutes ago, I'm walking along thinking I'm the luckiest person in the world. The world is a beautiful place. I'm so happy. I'm so grateful. 5 minutes later, I hate everything. I hate everybody. I can't, it doesn't even catch a person's attention that's inconsistent.
Right.
Something
has happened here. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like just shifting from one reality into the next, just seamlessly, and each one seems completely real.
Yeah, and it feels so true that it is me in that moment. You're right. If we would just turn chartreuse, that would be so great. But
yeah, because as soon as you step out of it again, you realize, God, that's not me. Or
yeah.
I mean, after you do, there are a lot of people who are then just beaten brutally for having been so negative and horrible and hateful and. But after we've been practicing for a while, at least we know, whoa, that was, I was really identified there. That was a complete takeover.
Well, yes, and I think, I'm so grateful for the recording and listening and the work that you're inviting us into with the email class and everything else, because it does feel like that's, in fact, that happened for me tonight, that the mentor was so much more available than I've probably ever experienced, because I was, first I should do the pizza and beer, and then it was, I shouldn't call the radio show. I should just go and eat a bunch of junk and lay around, because finally I was through with that awful yoga teaching, and, it was so awful. I mean, the whole thing,
Thank God I survived that. I really need to
eat
food.
Right, but then, I don't know, this doesn't happen for me very often at all, but it wasn't even with the recorder. I mean, I love the recorder, but it just dropped in. It felt like the mentor just being like, I understand that, whatever, but, I think we're going to feel better if we go ahead and, let's pick up these things and make a nice meal, and we've committed to call the show, let's just dial the number. And it was just like, I really had that sense like somebody was there with me, with that person who was getting all the other information. It was just so amazing.
Yeah. And the, the powerful part of that is in the language, let's. And so in both of those cases, I would suggest that somebody young is the recipient of what's going on. So conditioning comes in and says, I don't want to do that. I'd rather go. And it's a young person whose life has been taken over and taken away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the second case, it's also somebody young, at least in the beginning, that's talked to. It's okay. Let's do this. Come on, I'll help you. Let's pick these things up, and then let's make a nice dinner, and let's. And that little person is now looking to somebody kind and wise for support, and rather than looking, it's always looking, right? The little person is always looking. So it's either looking at those hateful messages of karmic conditioning and self-hate, or it's looking to the kindness and unconditional love of the mentor.
Yes, absolutely.
And
I
then,
am past
and then
my
you
time,
get to be
so.
There. You
get and I get to be there, yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so, so much. The email class is wonderful. I'm just so grateful for all of these amazing tools. And thank you. Have a wonderful show.
Thanks, Jen. Good night.
Thanks. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Shoe Baby.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hi.
I'm good. How are you?
Great. What's going on?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm so happy that I have called in because there was, of course, a lot of resistance to calling in, and the conversation was really funny because I was listening to some of the archives before the show, and, of course, everything that was being talked about in the archives exactly speaking to all of the life experiences I'm happening right now. So the conversation was, okay, well, now you don't need to call in because, you know, you're okay. And I just went, no, I'm still going to call in. I think I see that one. But I kind of am seeing that probably, well, at least what it feels like is that the last 6 months, I feel like I pretty much have been in the dark room and moments in the light room, but it's really been this subtle thing that kind of started with letting go of some things on practice, like not signing up for another recorder of reflective listening buddies. And then it became, wow, I can't remember the last time I listened to an archive. And then it was, wow, it's been 2 weeks since I've recorded and listened. And it just, it's all kind of come together and hit me. And I just went, whoa, what just happened in the last 6 months? And this kind of depression that's probably come up and manifested itself a little bit because I haven't been practicing and just really struggling a lot around that, as well as seeing how that has fed into unhealthy eating, which has fed into not exercising, and how that kind of vicious cycle, it all just feeds off of each other.
Yeah.
And kind of just waking up and going, what just happened? What's been going on? Like, and feeling really lost and also very stuck.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you were, right? You're not,
yes.
Not now. Now the voices would like to tell you that you are. But in fact, yeah. You're not, because you're not there any longer. And of course, it is their technique to try to get you to focus on that as much as possible and as quickly as possible to try to drag you back in. Like, well, you really blew it and you wasted 6 months of your life and God, I can't believe you fell for that. But instead, you're here. And what you're, you know, just sitting here, first of all, talking to Jen and then listening to you. You know, I think the next book has to be on resistance because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just, it's an astounding force. And
yeah.
I don't think people really get what it is. Yeah. And in that way that Jen and I were just talking about of how it, karmic conditioning, comes in and takes the person over and then begins to resist life. And then looking at it the way you've just described it, you know, there's, you just forget to do that one little thing. And then you're busy during the time when that happens. And then you miss the deadline on that. And each one of them is a really small thing. And suddenly
mm-hmm.
then you're really interested in watching the news. Or you have a passion for political debate, or you know, just those kinds of things that just kind of take you farther and farther and farther away from your heart, from the present, and it's so gradual. You know, if it tried to move you from the light room to the dark room all at once, it would be too obvious. But it's that gradual nature of it that sucks people in.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's just so shocking. It's like, whoa, where? And I totally see how it started happening. And it's so funny that you said all of a sudden you're interested in the news, because I can't tell you how many movies I've been watching on Netflix for the last 2 months. It's just been, that's all I do. And I'm like, wait, and just how all of a sudden that resistance of seeing things like I've been eating healthy for a very long time in my life, or not long, but for consistently enough where my body and myself, I know how great it is to eat healthy, and I enjoy it. It's not a chore. It's not terrible. I love it. And the resistance of, or just even the opposite of that, the craving that shows up now for sweets, and it almost feels like I can't stop. I just have to keep eating. And I know that's actually not satisfying because every time I eat it, the experience is never pleasurable. And just last night I was recording and listening and said, I don't know how to stop. Like it's almost like this other thing has taken over my body and will not allow me to stop doing this. That, and I see it happening, and that's where some of the struggle is I see it and how do I just stop? And then, of course, the voices come in and say, what's wrong with you and why can't you stop, you know, and yada, yada, yada.
Yes. Now, again, when you said that, what I saw was the takeover is gradual.
Mm-hmm.
The waking up has to be sudden and total.
Yeah.
So the way to stop it is to throw yourself wholeheartedly with the mentor's help into
mm-hmm.
conscious, compassionate awareness.
Yeah.
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 And close out all of those avenues so that when it starts whining about sugar, that I've seen that so clearly in this email class. You know, the addiction to sugar, and here's the voice in the head screaming for sugar. It doesn't have a body, and it's screaming
mm-hmm.
for sugar as if it's being deprived of something. So
mm-hmm.
it becomes so obvious what it's doing with that addiction, 'cause there's just no way it wants sugar. It just, that's not. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, and so when it starts in on that again, you know, you throw yourself into practicing awareness, and it starts trying to get you back, then what it's doing is really, really obvious. It's so apparent that there you just can't fall for it. And, of course, what we can all know is it'll start that campaign again. You'll be here. You'll be present. You're living in the light room. Everything is great. Feel fabulous. And there it is, nibbling around the edges, just starting to try to drag you down that path.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is the feeling is that I literally am going to die if I don't have a cookie.
Yes.
It is so intense.
But yes,
and I know that's not true.
Well, no, it is true. It is true. It will die if you don't have a cookie.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, that's true.
It's actually delivering a very true and clear message. It will die if you don't give it what it wants.
Mm.
That's really important for all of us. Whatever it is that it's screaming that it wants and making, you know, the human think you're going to die if you don't have that. No, 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 no. That's not what's going on. It's going to die if you don't give it whatever that is. You won't. As you know, you'll be dancing around in the light room.
Yes.
With your healthy body.
Yes, yes. Yeah, no, I was actually at a conference recently, and there was a keynote speaker at the end, and he was relating a story, and there was just something he said that really struck me, and the woman he was telling the story about talked about having relentless compassion. And it just really struck me in that moment of what would that be like. And previously you and I talked about this around the Enneagram class and realizing I'm a number one and perfectionist. And you said, well, what if you could be perfectly compassionate and take that part of you that wants to be perfect in all these other ways and put that energy around that? And I just thought, wow, that's the best thing I've ever heard, because how wonderful would it be to spend my life just putting all the energy towards compassion?
Yes, and there it leaves no opening for all
mm-hmm.
of this other stuff, just slime under and start trying to get a hold of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
So
thank you so much. You've got your program, right?
I do.
Of your attention to compassion all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to tell you, I'm very sad that I'm not going to be able to be at the New Year's retreat. It actually was at the best year yet. It was on my plan. I had saved up the money. And then my younger sister is pregnant. It's the first baby in our family, and she's due New Year's Day. And so I was like, darn it. So I'm heading out to Philadelphia right before the retreat starts to go be with her to help with the baby. But I was just thinking about it today as you and Michael were talking and thinking, you know, maybe, you know, if the baby doesn't actually come on New Year's Day or at that time, maybe I will join you guys and meditate right at midnight. And that might be really a wonderful way to participate from a distance.
Exactly so. And sign up for next year. And tell your sister to do better planning because you're not going to.
Yes.
All right.
Thanks so much, Sherry.
Take care.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Sri Devi. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Okay, moving along. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Trish from Chico.
Hi, Trish.
Hi, how are
you? Good, you?
I'm actually being quite heroic.
Well, please say more about that.
Well, I started a new job in 6 months ago, and it was the thing that probably scared me the most. And there's been just a whole lot of content about that, and I've just been going and listening to my recorder and hanging in there the best I can.
Talking to that mentor, listening to some wise, compassionate counsel.
Yep. But I have a little girl here who would like to talk to you.
Wonderful.
So I'm going to pass Rosa over to you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, Rosa.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, what's going on?
Well, I kind of get scared when my parents leave me home alone. And today, actually, I did it because yesterday I was sort of scared because my mom... Or I was scared because my mom went out at dusk to walk the dog. And so now she's decided to go during the day for just 20 minutes, not very long. And so today I had a good day with that. But I still kind of am scared. And mommy did some art projects with me. She made us draw, she had us draw a very, very scary monster that was all that fear and that voice that kind of screams that you were bad, that there was someone to be scared about because there's this man that's been going around town kind of like creeping out children, like bribing them with candy on their way home from school and that kind of stuff. And so that kind of scared me. And so then that's what we put it in the mean voice. And then we made a good person or whatever we imagined the good voice would be. And then we burn up the bad voice. The monster.
Uh-huh. So you're just left with the good boy, the good person.
Yeah, we both put that up on our walls.
Very good. And that was a big part of having a better day today?
Yeah, I think so. And I have a rock from Australia that I rub when I get nervous. And mommy's taught me all sorts of breathing techniques and just a lot of different stuff, and she's taught me with the recorder.
Oh, good. You like recording and listening?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when that fear begins to arise, you now know how to do a lot of different things, it sounds like, to comfort yourself, to reassure yourself that you're safe, you're okay.
Yep. Because I just have to remember that I'm inside my house and all the doors are locked. But sometimes I get really freaked out and I just don't really, like, I can't think about doing that. So my mom's trying to get me to, like, calm down and then think kind of.
Yes, because it's the panic that keeps us from being able to see what to do to take care of ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you can just kind of breathe and get yourself back to here where you are and calm down a little bit, then you can remember to do the things that you need to do to take care of yourself.
Yep, because I have to remember, just I'm in my house. Nobody can come in and so, yeah.
Yes, well, and, you know, that's a very specific fear that you're talking about, but, you know, everybody that I've ever known has things that they're afraid of. You know, being afraid is just kind of part of what happens with humans. And what is so wonderful about what you're learning and what you're practicing is that whatever the fear is, you know, as you get older, you might have fears around, you know, going away to college, or you have fears about applying for a job or going to a job for the, you know, they're all through life, there are things that people can be afraid of. And what you're practicing now is how to be with yourself and take care of yourself no matter what the fear is.
Yeah.
So it's really important. I mean, it's great, you know, to know that you're in a house and you're safe and, you know,
yeah,
people can't get to you. But you're learning something and practicing something that is so big. It's kind of, you know, it's what I work a lot attempting to encourage grown-ups to be able to do, right? So that fear arises, and we want to learn to just come back to the breath and breathe through it and keep our attention on calming down and remembering what's important to us. And so just to underline, you know, that you're learning some really powerful practices that are going to serve you all through your life.
Yeah.
So that's very inspiring for all of us.
Are there any other things that I should do?
Well, it sounds to me like you're on a great program. Do you ever consider that it's one part of you who is afraid and that there are other parts of you who are not afraid?
Yeah.
You think about that?
Yes, Mom's actually told me and actually had me sit down. Like, when I was really small, I used to be afraid of the ocean. Now I love the ocean.
Uh-huh.
But she kind of asked me where the fear was and where the part of me that felt confident was.
There you go. That's it. Because that confident part can take care of somebody who's usually younger, right? It's you said when you were younger, you were afraid of the ocean. So it's usually somebody a little bit younger than the one who's there who has the confidence to breathe through it and know how to take care of herself and little people.
Uh-huh.
Very good. Great. I'm very, very happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for calling me, huh?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right. Call me again sometime, would you? It's been years.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Bye. Thanks for your advice.
Thanks for joining us, Rosa and Trish. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, this is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads, and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Song by Trish Bruxford Colligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Are you there? Next caller. Okay, moving along. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy from Florida. How are you guys?
Hey, good, Sandy. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm actually calling back with an update. I have a monthly commitment to call. Don't always get through, but always am there trying to get through and learning so much. When I listened to that beautiful little girl, I thought, oh, dear, I recognize her. There's a little girl inside of me that sounds like that.
Uh-huh.
It was really very interesting to hear a little girl voice.
Yes.
It was really very interesting. Well, so what I was reporting back on is I had called with a very painful situation that was going on, kind of like a neighborhood drama where some neighbors had become angry at others, and I just was so devastated because it just felt so awful. And Dave McKay was on that night, and he said, he told me that you sometimes play a game with, what if I had a headache that was never going away? How would I learn to live with it?
Fabulous, isn't it?
Oh, my golly. You know, it just went home to the spot. You know, yeah, you know, this was a painful situation, and it was like a headache that wouldn't go away. And so when I put that together with some other people who are in the practice and put the headache theme together with get thee to the light room, and it all came together for me. And so I'm really calling tonight with a gratitude and just want to say thank you, because all of the tools just sort of came together and just made everything work, and I'm just so grateful. I was spiraling down and felt such despair.
Well, that I'm really glad you. Well, first of all, I'm glad that happened, and that it came together for you, and you started unspiraling. But that is such a great practice tool. So much of what conditioned mind, I think, does to us is just hang on, outwait it. You know, the old "this too shall pass."
Yeah.
But if we apply that to egocentric karmic conditioning, self hate, that's going to be a long, rough ride, because actually it won't pass. So to approach it as if, okay, but what if it's not going to? So how is my life going to change? What do I need to do differently given these circumstances, if this is going to go on forever, what do I need to do? That's powerful stuff.
It was powerful, especially because what I found was I would go for a walk, meditate, listen to some of the archives, and I would find respite or relief. But the fact of the matter is, it kept coming back.
Yes.
And it kept coming. It was like a festering wound.
Yeah.
And so it was, well, I don't know, I even had thoughts that, I can't find my mentor, my mentor's lost, where did you go, and, then I was like, I must not be doing this right, because this keeps coming back on me, maybe I haven't found the right tool yet, what am I doing wrong, and of course, conditioned mind had a wonderful time with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, what am I doing wrong is right up there with what's wrong with me.
Well, it wouldn't have happened if there wasn't something wrong with me.
Exactly, and that conditioned mind just has an endless list of answers to that question, doesn't it?
It was amazing. I could make a long, long, long list.
Yeah.
Like when you were doing Get Thee to the Light Room, the people had a huge long list of what it was like to be in the dark room, but the list of what it was like to be in the light room was awfully short.
Yeah.
It's because I have so much, or at least I project that I can relate to them. I seem to have more of a relationship with the dark room.
Yes. It's sad, isn't it? I mean, that
it is very sad.
True historically.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the good news is the headache works.
Yeah. And so, I mean, at the risk of getting into content, can you just say a little bit about the change that you made that kind of resolved it? Or
I keep going back to one of the best phrases when I was actually out there with you folks in California. Someone in my group had asked the question about how do I know when it's time to stop suffering, and the answer was when you've suffered enough. And so I kept thinking, how am I going to get out of this? When am I going to get out of this? Where do I go to get out of this? Even in my head, where do I go to get out of it? Not physically. And I just didn't know where to go, and I felt so lost. And so I just said, well, okay, I know I can only change me, and I don't have the power to change the drama that was going on around me or the other people involved. And so with that knowledge and all of the tools, like listening to Get Thee to the Light Room probably 6 or 8 times in one day, and there were things that just kept resonating, helping me to see that I had suffered enough and that I could make a choice to accept that this was indeed a painful situation. And then I went, oh my gosh, that's my mentor. Sandy, you've suffered enough.
Uh-huh.
It was really quite a lovely awakening.
Uh-huh. And then there you are. You're on the other side and you're free.
Yeah. Not that I stay there all the time. Conditioning wants to trip me up and throw me back.
Oh, of course. It's job. Yeah. In fact, that's to me, that's a point in practice where karmic conditioning, self-hate, can be seen as an ally.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, because it will come at you until there's nothing that you are not embracing in conscious compassion awareness. Yeah. So you get clear, you light room, you feel great. It's like kind of like Sri Devi was saying, and then slowly you kind of slide out and there's an opening and here it is again. And you go,
yeah.
Oh, whoa, no. Thank you for that. And thank you for helping me see it that quickly. I'll be dashing right back to the light room. Thank you very much. So each time it comes at us, and now I'm not saying you know, karmic conditioning, self-hate is a good thing because it helps us wake up. I am not in that club at all. But there is a point in practice when we realize that anything that helps us to wake up is a blessing. Anything, you know, we don't want to go down a sort of okay, not that dangerous road.
So you're
sooner
saying
or later it's going to get really dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're saying when I called my dear, very, very dear, dear person who practices as well and said, can we reflect? And she said, oh, what a wonderful opportunity for practice, that it was appropriate that I wanted to strangle her.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't feel that great to have an opportunity to practice, but
yeah.
I can see that now.
Yep, that's
and,
exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I am very, very grateful for the opportunity to be practicing, and I know I named a bunch of different tools that I used in the process, and one of them just wasn't going to get me there.
Exactly.
And it's all of these different things that you and your folks out there put out for us that brought it all together, and I'm deeply grateful. Thank you.
Well, and don't forget to thank the practitioner who put all of those tools together. And yeah.
Okay, I wasn't thinking about that person,
yeah,
but
yeah. We can offer all this stuff, but if nobody takes us up on the offer, it just doesn't go anywhere.
Very true. Very true. Thank you so much, Sherry. Okay. And Michael, thank you for being there.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us, Sandy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey.
Hey,
what's going on?
Well, I'm having to phone because I can't get connected on my tablet. It won't connect on Open Air, and I hope I'm not taking someone's spot because I have been able to get in the last couple of weeks. But we need an app for Android. Maybe we can throw that out to the Sangha.
Yes,
for Open Air.
It seems to me that somebody is working on that.
Yeah,
but I'm not certain. So yes, we'll hear hopefully from somebody who says, yes, I'm almost there.
Because I know we have an app for Apple or for the iPad or probably the iPhone.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
For Open Air and for...
Yes. And Transform Your Life.
Transform Your Life. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would really be thrilled to join in on that technology because I just got a tablet, but it's not run by Apple. It's run by the other software people.
Uh-huh.
But
that
I'd love to join
company.
In.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, another company. But when I connect Open Air, it connects me. It does everything but give me. I don't get any audio.
Oh well, that gee, for
and then
for
I'm
an
like,
audio
well, also,
show, that's just hardly meaningful, is it?
Just to look at the screen and see the callers just doesn't get not a lot of information coming.
Yeah.
From that. But
well, did
so
you
I,
have a deeply spiritual issue you're looking at besides your tablet?
Not really. Just enjoying the email class immensely and just throwing out there that I am doing the C-Link, but really, really appreciating the opportunity to look at the A and B-Link again.
Yes. And I understand that the responses are, you know, when we started out, the A's were posted together and the B's and the C's, but now they're kind of mixed together.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that. I don't know if other people do.
Yes, I saw that as the responses went on. They were mixed together, and then it was fun to kind of go from kind of, for me, early processes that I was looking at, and then kind of, you know, as I did the next email class, oh, yeah, that process, and then I'm like, yeah, now I'm here on this process. But then I'm like, geez, I fell back to that B process.
Right.
You know, like,
well,
oh.
That
am I,
A is looking awfully well, familiar.
That A, geez, that A is looking, yeah, no, I mean, I just love the responses and how song is so powerful.
It is.
See
unbelievably
how, you know,
powerful. And I always
yeah.
feel a little twinge of sadness when there's that information that comes in that people don't want to read what other people are doing. You know, that
yeah.
We all can laugh at ourselves with that. Oh, I just want to read mine.
Right.
Because it's true. Sangha is so powerful. Powerful from the, you know, as you know, we're indicating that the A responses, we all know that. You know, this is the first time through, and I'm just really starting to recognize that what those voices say and how the voice is the same for everybody. And then the next, the B link, you know, I've got some practice under my belt with this, but boy, the resistance is rugged. And so looking at that, and then the C link where, you know, I really do know how all of this works, and I've been through this a number of times, and still, and so from the being able to hear somebody articulate being completely lost and scammed and conned, and then the insights around that to all the way through people who have huge breakthroughs and giant epiphanies and can express it so well. It is truly powerful. And this is, I mean, maybe, I don't know what anybody else is doing in the world, but it's such an extraordinary opportunity to have a look into so many minds and so much conditioning and ways of processing, and there isn't any element of personality in it because we don't have any idea who these people are.
Nope. No.
Yeah. So I don't have to. I don't even have to deal with. Oh well, that person. How wise can that person be? Look how young they are. Or what does that person know? My God, they're probably senile. Or whatever that conditioned mind would want to throw up as a barrier to being fully heart open, present to another human being. That all we have is what they're expressing on that screen, and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah. It is. And just what's been coming up for me in the last couple of days is that a kind of there's no separate self. Like you said, that personality drops away.
Yeah.
And I've just really enjoyed having the tablet. It's much more for me mobile, and there's Wi-Fi everywhere, and I'm just having my tablet as opposed to my laptop, and I'm doing the whole email class on my tablet, which is much more, you know, smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And just to have that immediacy to have it there and I think in my experience, because of just the technology for me, I have actually read every response and I've kept up with every class just for the first time in any email class.
Wow. That,
like,
that,
I'm right there. Every response, I've read every response. Yeah.
That's a statement.
Well, I don't know if it's the technology or it's the commitment or it's the, you know, the willingness. I don't know what it is, Sherry, but, like, it's like, wow, I'm right. I'm just waiting for the next set. You know, it's kind of like, wow, I've gone through them all.
Yeah, you know, Todd, when you said that no separate self, that in itself is powerful because that, at least that's my experience, there's nothing that anybody says that I can't relate to.
Yes.
I mean, it's so obvious that we are all one person.
Yes.
One intelligence, one
mm-hmm.
one animated form. So when we get a line like all cells in the body of the Buddha, it starts to make sense.
Right, yes. Yeah. Experientially, it totally does. And that email class for me just clearly lays it out. And, you know, we get, I don't know how many there are. With all the responses, it feels like there's thousands doing it, but it just the
hundreds.
You know, hundreds, yeah.
Yeah.
Hundreds, and then you add four at five classes. There's, you know, could be typically 500 responses right there, just there. I'm just struck with there's no separate self. And the more, and, you know, I've just gone even to rereading them because, you know, by the time you get to class five, you just go to the back to the beginning. And you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. Let's start at the beginning. What do I wait for Tuesday or Friday?
Right.
Or when the responses come in, but... Yeah, technology is really, you know, I don't know if people are into the tablets. I know the smartphones, you can do the same thing on the smartphone, but I find it's kind of halfway between a laptop and a smartphone is the tablet.
Yeah.
You know, just for portability and visual, you know, screen size and all that. But
yes.
Yeah, we get it.
We get
an Android app.
Yeah, we are incredibly fortunate to be living at this time because, as you know from this program and everything else we do, you know, there are people all over the world able to practice together because of technology. It's just
And just came to mind was just I was listening to an open air and I just happened to do them very randomly, and it was talking about the at-home working meditation retreats, and just thinking the technology used there just to get that all put together.
Yeah.
Look at that. It's just, that's a very recent innovation, but it's one of my favorite days of not being at the monastery.
Yeah.
It's monastic practice at home, which is really amazing.
With a whole bunch of other people around the world.
Yes.
Some up in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Because they're on that kind of time.
Right. You know, having group together and having sitting together and having, you know, just, it's just, I just love that whole process. It really speaks to practice for me.
Yeah.
So,
you.
Well, I hope because I'm using the phone now as kind of a listening device, and I hope I haven't taken anyone else's spot, because last week I passed because of that very issue.
Well,
and I hope there isn't somebody in the queue that I've taken some time from.
Well, if there is, then I hope they call in early next week. And
because I called in late tonight, hoping not to get on.
Well,
I still get on.
I've enjoyed this, Todd. So let's just rest with it. Must
let's
have been
just
the right
go with
thing.
It. Yeah. What is perfect, and yeah, all that stuff.
Yep.
What's meant to be is meant to be. So.
Yep.
It's very good, and I just can't stop expressing the gratitude for this email class and all of them, but. For me, this one is really wow. It's wowing it. I'm like, you know, wow.
Wow.
Just so appreciating the insights that have come to me and sharing them with Sangha and having the insights of Sangha come that I can really relate to and identify with and really cut through that. There's no separate self. It's the thing that is really hitting me the last week the most, yeah. Really fantastic.
Thank you, sir.
And looking forward to 2012 and all the great things around the monastery and
it's
evening
going
practice.
To be so much fun.
I love deepening practice, and I've attended a few of those events. Practice, so, you know, you're preaching to the choir right here.
That's right.
Love that whole process. So fantastic. So you take good care, and thanks
right,
again, Sherry, and thank you, Michael.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Good night.
We'll talk soon. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. Sherry, we have about 3 minutes here. Would you like to talk to another caller?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
We'll talk fast.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, it's Rebecca, and hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi there, Rebecca.
Hey, am I getting some background? Are you getting background noise?
I'm not.
Oh, okay, good. Because I'm like Todd, I'm listening on my phone because I'm not near a computer, and
I
called in.
You didn't expect to be called on either, huh?
I didn't, but I'm delighted.
Good. Well, what's going on in our 2.5 remaining minutes?
Well, I'm just purchasing some things, getting ready for this big trip this weekend.
I understand you're going to Zambia.
I am, and I'm so excited. That's why I have background noise, because I'm in the Walgreens buying hand sanitizer and other items like that we take with us, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it's really fun. I'm looking at some old pictures, making prints, and I mean, I'm just so excited. I'm so excited to see all of our friends, and it's just going to be wonderful. So I know you'll be watching the blog, and
yep.
I know Michael will. That's like his favorite pastime is the Africa blog, right?
That's
right.
He restrains himself. We've learned that over time, right? He only checks three or four, six times a day to see if there's a new one.
Oh, I love it. Well and I wanted to say one other thing is I love mixing at the A, B, and C group in the email class, by the way. I was so happy that somebody had the idea to do that.
Good, good. That was actually June who does all of that posting part of the process.
Yeah.
So she was following along and realized that mixing them up like that is, I don't know, it just adds a certain vibrancy to it.
Yeah, it really does.
She suggested, and I realized that I really love it too. So
yeah, it's sort of like dissolving just one more way that the illusion of a separate self can exist. We're all mixed in there together.
Yes, and you know that feeling of... one moment I'm at this stage of practice, and the next moment I'm seeing this, and then the next moment something has grabbed me around the ankle and now I'm in this, and seeing them all represented like that is it's really helpful.
Yeah, you know, and reliving, like someone mentioned the shark, you know, exercise,
mm-hmm.
and just getting to remember, oh, yeah, those sharks are circling, you know, and,
right.
and all.
yeah.
It's really
great. I hope we do it again, you know, because I have an idea for that exercise for class five, for the five group. One of the things that, of course, I want to start mentioning to people in the class is that special retreat for graduates of this class, for the What You Practice retreat, which it'll be coming up this summer, and is such a great follow-up to that class. And also in that, I don't know, just bringing all of the stages of practice together in one place.
Oh yeah, gosh, you're talking about the What You Practice retreat that started last year, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, I was listening to some archives when there was a call when people were talking about how, you know, they just wanted to get in on it, and I was thinking today, I wonder if they're going to have to put some sort of a limit on, no, you can't do it twice until everybody has done it once.
Well, you know, as I was saying, we've been spending a lot of the last several days looking at practice for next year, and that was actually one of the subjects that came up, was
mm-hmm.
we were looking at how many of those to put on the schedule, because we were anticipating that there would be new people who were just going through the classes or who just couldn't do it last year for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
who will want to do it, and then there are going to be people who want to repeat it. And,
I'm one of those people.
I was looking at it just the other day, and I thought, oh, I'm ready to do that retreat again. You know, we did four of those last year.
Wow.
Usually, you know, after four, in one year, I'd be kind of in a, that's enough. But I'm really looking forward actually to doing that retreat again. So.
Oh, that's really cool.
Hey.
And gosh, so that's probably over 100 people that have done it then.
Oh, yes, well over 100, yeah.
Well over 100.
Yeah. Hey, you have a fabulous trip. Say hello,
thank
please,
you.
To all those people that we all love so much. And
I sure will.
And we'll be looking for you in the blogs.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. And I'm glad I got to talk for a few minutes. And y'all have a great evening.
All right. You too. Good night.
Hey, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. What a privilege, Sherry.
What a thrill. Thank you, Michael.
Thrill.
Hey, and
thank
your voice is back. I hadn't even but you're back to your familiar fifth chakra. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's great.
All right. We'll talk next week.
Wonderful.
Thank
you, Sherry.
Michael. Good night.
Good night.